Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. This week we talk about the return of Parks and Recreation, the collapse of Megadeth, and the amazing first trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens is the subject of this week's Trailer Talk. Welcome to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. With me as always my two friends, unfortunately, Lucas Jones.
Let's get ready to rumble!
And Ryan DeMarco.
Boom! Tough acting, tough acting!
All right, those were some weird intros. hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving and an equally awesome Black Friday. I bought a TV and then I threw it on Ryan and Lucas's head, which was great. They were knocked out for a couple days. Awesome.
Yeah, I got stuffed.
Yeah, you got stuffed by a turkey. That was cool. Fantastic.
I continued on my path of bulking by consuming mostly turkey. And then, unfortunately, succumbing to the power of brandied pears in the form of a caramel pie.
Nice.
I ate like half of it.
Did you guys have any good beers over Thanksgiving?
Heineken Light.
Ooh, I said good beers.
I like Heineken Light.
Heineken Light's good. Yeah. Heineken Light's good.
It's funny. I had a Hopsecutioner that I brought last Thanksgiving that was still there. I brought like a 4-pack of or a 6-pack of it. And I guess we never finished it, and it was still there. Must have been there for a year, at least.
You should have saved one and done a vertical, because IPAs taste totally different after
it. It was good. It was I almost liked
mellow,
it.
Mellow, right?
I liked it better than the regular Hopsecutioner, but that's neither here nor there, because I love both. And, Ryan, did you have anything?
I had a few, actually. I was on a drinking binge. I don't know what happened to me. I had a Dogfish Head with the meal. I had a Indian brown ale, which was nice. Actually, it complimented the meal nicely. Went on to have a I had the gingerbread beer from
Shipyard.
Or was it gingerbread head? Then I had Anchor Porter. I had a few anchors, actually. I had one when I saw you when you came down back in town.
Yeah, so we had the Blue Moon gingerbread beer. That was really good, too.
That was good, too, yeah. And then last night I had, whilst I was watching the gut-wrenching finale of Walking Dead, I had a Cabin Fever, which was a very nice, very roasty brown ale. It was actually really good.
Well, before we get into the beer review, let's talk about that gut-wrenching Walking Dead finale. We keep saying finale, and people are like, "Oh my god, I can't believe they ended the season like that." People forget that it's the mid season. It's not even the season finale, but they always build it up for this mid season blowout. What did you guys think of the ending?
I mean, I was shocked. Like, you know, somebody's gonna die. You knew that was gonna happen. But to be completely honest, I didn't think Beth was gonna die. I thought they were finally doing something really good with her character, and they were finally developing it into something substantial, and she was becoming this moral compass, which was going to help Daryl and, you know, be that aspect of the show. Like, Ryan and I watched it together, and I think we both had the same reaction, pretty much. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, that just, and the way it happened, too.
It was very just, it just, they didn't, you know, no strings, they didn't pull anything. It just happened. Like it was like any other character. The episode was really strong, and the death was really shocking. But then I rewatched it today, and it didn't really make sense, like a little bit, like how it went down. Like, I don't understand Beth's actions leading up to that. But nonetheless, it was a very, very strong finale. Definitely left you, as a usual Walking Dead, fan, leaves you on the hook wanting more, and you got to wait now 3 months. Overall, it's a very strong finale, fall finale, or, you know, year finale. Very well done. Al, what did you think about it?
Well, I was not shocked about it for two reasons. There's the obvious reason that I told you like an hour ago, was because I accidentally went on Facebook before I actually saw the episode. I was waiting for the encore at 11, and The Walking Dead, the official Facebook, was nice enough to post a picture of Daryl holding Beth and saying, "Rest in peace, Beth." So that was ruined for me very well. You know, I was very upset that I got to see that early. But then when I thought about it, when I saw the episode and I finally watched the episode, I realized that they've been foreshadowing her death this whole season. And even a little bit of last season. Well, how's it? This season began. We didn't see a lot of Beth, right? Until like the
fourth episode.
Until the Bethisode.
The Bethisode.
They've been foreshadowing her death since the end of last season when they had the episode with Beth and Daryl. And they were like, you know, they were in the cabin, they were drinking, they were talking, that whole really, really strong episode with the two of them. And she was like, you know, "You're going to miss me when I'm gone, Daryl Dixon." So it kind of foreshadowed a little bit that she might have been one of the next, you know, people to actually bite the dust. And unfortunately, she did. And I loved Beth, honestly, after her introduction in season two. She wasn't that strong of a character, but they really built her up, and they actually rebuilt that character and made her one of my favorites. And it was actually great because I got to interview her last season. Emily Kinney.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Emily Kinney is, like, honestly, like one of the nicest people in the history of the planet. So if you think Beth's character is nice, if you talk to her in person, she's just a sweetheart. So it was really sad to see her go because she was a really good part of the show. But I mean, you know, no one's safe on that show. That's the sad part, and the cool part of the show, because anything can happen unless you're named Rick or Daryl. So, you know,
until that episode,
until that episode, and then everyone boycotts the show. So no, I liked the episode. I didn't like the character death, but it was done in a way that wasn't upsetting to me. So. Yeah, I thought it was a good move. But before we get all emotional about Beth, what are you guys drinking over there? Because I don't have anything in front of me.
Well, I must say I'm a little perturbed that we've upset the natural balance of this show. For an entire year, we have done the beer review first.
Wait, I have to stop you right there. You just said it. I forgot to say it. This is officially a year for us.
No.
Well, it might have been a year for us, like, last week. But it's a year for us. News Over Brews officially turned one.
The one-year anniversary of News Over Brews.
We are a pretty fat baby, if I do say so myself.
Yes.
We are.
Yeah.
That's all that beer.
Fat and illegal, right?
Yeah, that's true.
In certain
ways. But I'll try to move past that. Because this beer is actually really, really good. So, we are drinking Wallivers Fine Organic Alta Gracia Coffee Porter. It is a winter seasonal brew made in cooperation with the Vermont Coffee Company using 100% certified fair trade organic coffee from the Alta Gracia farm in the Dominican Republic. So not only does it have organic fair trade coffee, but it's also aged on organic vanilla beans. So this beer is like super organic. Like, you'll start listening to the Grateful Dead wearing a flower dress and hitting a tambourine, kind of organic.
Outstanding, Jones. Continue.
Yeah. Man, it's really good. It's like really, really effing good. You know, we popped the cap and immediately coffee.
Yeah.
So much coffee. And like not bitter coffee either. Like normally when we say, normally people say coffee, it's bitter. But it's not bitter.
No.
It's like dark roasted, full bodied. This beer tastes like coffee. It tastes like better coffee than I've had actual coffee. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Like, this beer tastes like better coffee than I can get anywhere within, like, a 10-minute range of my house. And it's just, oh, it's so good. And the porter, the body of the porter is light enough that it lends to the delicate balance, I think, between the full-bodied roast of coffee, but also an underlying sweetness of vanilla. And so I think that that sweetness and that coffee flavor really balance each other very, very well. And it just, it tastes, and I'm going to get another sip real quick. It just, it tastes like a really good cup of strong, dark coffee, but without being bitter or like burnt, you know? So not only is this beer solid on its own, but it's now making other coffee porters worse.
That's true. No, you're right. You're right. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's so, just the aroma, it just kind of like activates your whole body. Just like smelling it wakes you up. And the body is so light. It's so light and so dry. But what won it for me was the sweetness, the small amount of sweetness from the vanilla beans that really, like you say, it counterbalanced the bitterness of the coffee really well. It was just a perfect blend. It's just an amazing, like, I'll be honest, like, I didn't know what to expect when you pulled out the six pack, and now this is probably gonna go down one of my favorites for sure. This is a hell of a brew you picked out.
I think the only thing, and I gave it an 8.5 on the Instagram, and I think my first instinct is to say it's a 10. Absolutely. But this is where it gets complicated, because even though this beer is only 5% alcohol, and it's only as 25 IBUs, which is ridiculously low, I don't think it's sessionable. And not that really affects the score that much, because it really shouldn't.
It doesn't.
At least. I think the only reason it affects the score is because I want to drink more and I can't. The only reason being is because that coffee flavor is there. But there's only so much coffee I can drink. And I love coffee.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to be fair, though, I could definitely see myself drinking a six-pack of this. The only problem is it leaves you with coffee breath. That's how much coffee is in this beer. It leaves you with coffee breath. So, like, I'm kind of torn here. On the one hand, I want to say that it's because one bottle drinking this coffee porter, 10 out of 10. Hands down, without a doubt. But if I'm bringing this to, like, a party for myself, I don't know if I can make it through a six-pack. Only because of the really strong coffee flavor. Understood. So, I guess I would go ahead and give it a 10 out of 10 for just the taste. The single bottle taste between the smell, the color, the taste, the mouthfeel, everything. But I don't think I could do a whole six-pack. I think this would do really well in, like, a mixed six. Like, okay. Two bottles of this, yeah. And then switching over to something else. Right?
I agree with you. I agree with you and I don't agree with you. It's amazing. My score would not reflect on how sessionable it is. I would tie your argument with, it's like saying, this movie that came out was really fantastic, all around great, but how often can you watch it? In a way.
But when they review video games, they review replayability.
That's video part games. Of the score. Yeah, that's a video game. That's a video game. That's a hands-on interactive.
Is that not what beer is?
Well, no, because I'm sorry. Hey, I'm still here. I'm going to chime in with Ryan on this because I feel like I know what he's going to say is, you get bored of a video game. You don't necessarily get bored of a beer. Like, you know, just because you've had Dogfish 60 Minute IPA countless times doesn't mean that, you know, every so often you'll be like, hey, I'm kind of in the mood for that.
Well, see, I would disagree with you there because I definitely get bored with beers. And I feel like you guys also do, too. You just don't realize. And you just said every once in a while you go back. Even terrible games, I'll go back every once in a while and play.
Why? Even, who does that?
Or even not terrible games. Even, even like
games right, out so of season,
what did we just talk about? I had a hankering to play The Force Unleashed, too. After like 2 years of not playing it. Yeah, I know you have it. Stop rubbing it in. And, you know, that the game itself was, you know, was good. But I did get bored of it. And bored is not the right word for this beer, I don't think, because it's really, really good. It just, that strong coffee flavor. And I'm sorry that we went on a tangent interrupting your review, Ryan.
That's okay.
But, yeah, it's just that strong coffee flavor, I think, But yeah, I mean, if we're going on like a single taste, like one bottle, it's absolutely a 10 out of 10. It's one of the best porters I've ever had.
That is how you, I think it should be scored. Just not how much you can drink it, just what you're drinking, pretty much. Like, it's amazing. It's just so well executed, this drink. It's just this beverage. I would for sure give this a 9. Just a solid 9 for its style, for what it is. For any amount you have, it doesn't matter. Just don't knock it for, you know, you can only have, you know, maybe 2 of this, and then you can go have a full 6-pack of Dogfish 90. Doesn't alter the score for either. It's just that's what it is.
All right. Well, yeah. So that'll be our single bottle review. Is Ryan gave it a 9. I gave it a 10. You know, also one of the best things about it is that if you're into all that fair trade organic nonsense, this is a beer for you, because it's fair trade organic coffee, which means that the coffee farmers aren't getting shafted by big business. They're being paid fair amounts for their labors, and, you know, organic is good too, I think.
This is the first organic thing I've ever put in my body.
Yeah, that's true. You had Wendy's for dinner.
I did.
So I had giant pork.
I had Wendy's too.
Did you?
Yeah. Actually, I had Wendy's also. And then I had Wendy's, and then I made myself pork chops.
I had a number 5 at Wendy's. And you know what's funny? For people who've never seen our faces, who only listen to the SoundCloud, or basically only listen to the SoundCloud, or maybe go through Pop Break, they probably think we're really, really fat at this point. Yeah. We really should start, like, putting pictures of us.
Yeah, for sure.
Just working out and, like, just ripped. just to be like... How is this? How is this possible?
How you doing? We're drinking a beer a week and we look like this.
Well, what do you look like? Ryan and I can do that. You look like the machinist.
For the folks at home, the machinist.
We put this on the record.
Let me put this on the record. I do not look like Christian Bale in The Machinist. I'm not anorexic. I eat a lot. I just don't gain weight.
No, Luke, he doesn't. I've seen your house. There's nothing ever in your
fridge. Lucas is jealous.
You guys, you shop by the day. You are your parents.
I am my parents. It's sad. But anyway, moving on from the beer review, thank you, Lucas and Ryan, as usual, for your fantastic beer review. Right now, I didn't get that beer, but I'm drinking a Golden Monkey, and it's delicious.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Who bought you that Golden Monkey?
Lucas did.
Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke's Golden Monkey by Victory. And yeah, so let's go into, I guess, our first bit of news. I know we talked about The Walking Dead, but... that's not really news. That's just our review. This is some news that I do want to talk about. We are huge, 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 huge fans of Parks and Recreation, NBC's pretty much only remaining good show. And sadly, Parks and Rec is ending. It is really sad. Parks and Rec is literally NBC's last good show. It used to air back to back with The Office, when The Office was in its heyday, and Parks and Rec was actually a creation from the the showrunner from The Office, and it's got the best cast on television, hands down. And they've just announced that Parks and Rec is going to return for its final season on January 13th, and in a completely NBC way, they are going to rush these 13 episodes so fast that the show is going to seem like it's going to end in a month. Because they're going to run back-to-back episodes for 6 weeks leading up to a one-hour series finale. So we're going to only get 7 weeks left of Parks and Rec.
Now, I mean, don't forget, this is the network that canceled Star Trek, the original series. So clearly they have no idea what they're doing.
They still haven't learned in over half a century.
That's right. They also screwed over both Heroes and Scrubs, and I never let them live that down.
You email them every week.
Every week. But, yeah, so what do you guys... I mean, you guys are both fans of Parks. Lucas, I don't know if you're all the way caught up. I know Ryan... you guys are both fantastic. So how do you... First of all, how do you think the show is going to end? We saw a glimpse of it, a tiny glimpse of the future. In the last episode, the season finale, last season's. But also, what do you think about NBC kind of just, you know, rushing through it? I mean, this was one of their best shows, and now they're kind of just like kicking out the door.
Well, I think they're kicking it out the door because they're done with it. Like, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's, you know.
No.
In their mind, I'm sure they've got two or three more shows that they would rather try to pick up and get off the ground than try to compete with Parks. In their minds, at least. As for how the show's going to end, I literally have no idea.
How would you like it to end?
How would I like it to end?
Ugh. Yeah.
I would like it to end with, who's the chick that plays April?
Rashida Jones.
No.
That's the other one.
That's Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aubrey Plaza. I would like the show to end with Aubrey Plaza, giving me a marriage proposal on the end of the show. Ooh. Of which I would gladly accept.
That's great. Even though she's married to Andy.
That's great, congratulations.
Even though she's married to Andy.
Well, no, she would break character for this.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she would just break character.
She would break character, break the fourth wall, and then directly, by name, rank, serial number, and address. Realistically, I don't know. I'm torn between wanting to see like a happy ending, like that typical sitcom ending where everyone's just like, yay. And then actually having like something kind of sad, you know, because there are a million bittersweet ways they could end the show. And I mean, really,
Ben has a heart attack and Leslie goes to croaking. Like, how do you want this show to end?
I didn't mean it like that. I don't know. I just hope they do it justice. I guess whatever they decide to do, I hope that it's just done well and they don't try to like ham fist something in, mm-hmm. like the way they did to the fourth season of Star Trek Enterprise.
Gotcha. Because that's completely
back to Star Trek.
Completely comparable.
Because what they did, the fourth season was great, and then the two-episode season finale wasn't Star Trek Enterprise. They forced Jonathan Frakes and Miranda Sirtis, Captain Riker and Deanna Troi, for those who are not initiated, they just ham-fisted them into the fucking episode. You can tell that I'm still annoyed by
this.
Yes. All right, six years later.
I'm going to let you just wallow.
Go to Ryan.
I'm going
to
let you wallow in that for a little bit. Ryan. Your question. Yes. Three recurring characters. Name three that have to be in that series finale for you to be like, okay, I'm happy.
John Ralphio.
Yes.
Of course.
There are right answers to this, by the way.
you know, who I love that is probably weird, Senator... I don't even know if a Jam,
Councilman Jam,
Councilman Jam.
You just got jammed.
I hope he comes. I love him. I always laugh when he's on screen.
Self Jam.
Self Jam.
One of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
When he jams himself. Self Jam.
Self Jam. I don't know. This last one. Seriously, it's so hard to contain it to just three. Even one of the Tammies, like I would love to see like one of the Tammies come back.
Ooh, a fight between the Tammies.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
Because the chick that Ron Swanson's married to now isn't she the woman who played
she was Lucy
Zena?
Yeah, Zena.
Yeah,
I would kill to see that fight
she'd
between the Tammies
chop both their
and
heads
then
off
and then Lucy.
Well, you know what?
Comes
it was
in.
Funny because there's a director's cut of the season finale of last season. That they had this whole subplot where Ron and Diane trick Tammy into hooking up with Jam. And it's awesome. It's great. It's great.
Tammy
it's like,
1 or Tammy 2?
Tammy 2. The crazy librarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the nympho librarian. It was
who was actually married to him in real life.
Yeah. I'm just trolling for some daddy. Oh, wait. What I meant was daddy. Phenomenal. She's a great character. Ryan, if I had to do three characters, I don't know why I'm just saying this to Ryan. Viewers, listeners, and Lucas. John Ralphio, obviously. You heard with Purd.
Oh, yes.
Purd Happily is by far one of the funniest fucking side characters of all time. And then the third one's tough. This is actually counting as two people, but they are always grouped together. I want the stoners that worked at Animal Control.
you work here too? Oh my god.
Dude, I live with this guy.
Dude, when, this is the same job we just got fired from.
That is the best. Yeah, so I want to see those guys back. Ryan, do you have an idea of either how they can end it or how you would want it to end?
I you know what? It's a show that I have no idea how it's going to end. It's really, like, as funny as the show is, it actually is pretty clever writing. They always know how to keep the characters fresh and all this, but I would be totally happy if they left the show with just, like, them still working together, all together, and not some crazy, like, oh, you know, Ben and Leslie moved to Paris and, you know, Ron, you know, murdered a bear and ate it. I don't know, like weird stuff.
Probably did
and,
that
like,
already.
Yeah, I like, if they all just stayed together, like I would be so happy with that. Like these are such great characters and so just well played that you want them, you want to be friends with these people. Like, can I find a town like that and just kind of go to Pawnee and work there for probably no money? Just like, I honestly,
you live in that town.
Yes,
that's true. You live in Anahog.
It's true. But it's just such a well scripted show, well acted show. I don't want to see. It probably sounds lame. It's probably just a totally lame thing I'm saying. I don't want anything to happen. I want them to just keep going, how they're going. You want these characters to end up happy. You know, it's pretty much going to be a mostly happy ending, you know, unlike how Lucas wants. He wants a super depressing ending where, you know, probably the place explodes and they all die and, you know.
That was your whatever. Ending for Scrubs, you asshole.
I wish the hospital exploded. I hate that show.
You're a piece of shit. You know what, though? I do hope, because they mentioned that Jon Hamm's going to be returning, because we saw at the end of the last season when they jumped to the future. Jon Hamm's character, I forgot, it's like Gary or something. He's the most incompetent employee ever, and he's more incompetent than Larry, Gary, Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah. Gingrich, Gergich, whatever his name is, they always change it. So I'm excited. I hope that they do like either every episode or every other episode or every three episodes, they show a little bit of the future. And just have Jon Hamm do something ridiculous, because he is fucking hilarious. And like, people, you know, oh yeah, Jon Hamm's amazing because of Mad Men. But if you watched him in anything else, him on SNL,
he's amazing in everything that
he does.
Funny,
yeah,
him in Bridesmaids, like, he is funny and he knows it. Like, he's got it. He just has it like down pat. Like, he's got a great sense of humor. So I'm really excited to see him in it. I don't want it to end.
Don't like how they're doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be done in February. I'm very upset. They couldn't even give it a full season order. They gave it a... We were lucky to get an ending, so I guess we got to be happy with it. But starting January 13th, they're going to be running back-to-back episodes for 6 weeks leading up to a one-hour series finale. So we'll get Parks and Rec for about 2 months, and then it's over. But at least it will probably be... When we look at it, by the end of the series... It's going to be one of the most complete, like, best shows. It's going to go up there, because The Office didn't happen like that, you know?
It definitely had some lackluster
seasons. Yeah. The first four seasons of that show was fantastic, and then, you know, it gets really iffy when it comes to the last, like, eight or nine? The last three or four seasons weren't that good. There was ups and downs. So,
but it did finish strong.
Parks will finish strong, but it's also going to be kind of like the Breaking Bad of comedies, where it's just a solid show throughout. There was not really any bad episodes of Parks that I can think of.
Yeah, just the only bad thing is there's no love for the show. Like, NBC, NBC does not promote the show.
They know that it's on the way out.
No, even before that.
Even before that, NBC doesn't know how to take care of
its rarely
comedies.
Saw, like, even, except for maybe it was the show before, but Parks and Rec is coming up right now. Ha ha.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, like, NBC, after its second season, they give up on a show unless it's a show like The Office, where it's so big that they, you know, they promote the crap out of it. Like, they've never shown that love to Parks. Parks has always been a solid show, but it's never been a blockbuster of a show like Office was. So we'll have to see how the show plays out. But, you know, thanks to Netflix and Hulu and all these streaming shows, people can always watch Parks for the end of time. And That's all I have to say about that. Okay. Moving on to, I guess this is the week in metal, but really Lucas has just one big thing that he's going to complain about. Lucas, this week in metal, what's going on?
Megadeth is dead.
That's some pretty sad news.
That's all I have to say about now. So, the slow, inexorable demise of Megadeth has become a slightly faster demise. The two best people in the band, the drummer, Mr. Sean Drover, and the guitar player, Mr. Chris Broderick, left within 24 hours of each other, citing musical differences, which can mean only one thing, that the new Megadeth album is going to suck giant balls. For those of you who are metalheads out there, you know that Super Collider was god-awful. Before that, 13 was mediocre at best. And Endgame was phenomenal. So it's been, like, completely downhill. And it was going downhill for a while before Endgame, and then Endgame was really good, and then they fucked it up. So, so they're citing musical differences. They said they want to go work on their other projects.
Away from each other.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Chris Broderick is an amazingly talented guitar player. He's far too talented for Megadeth. And Drover's been in the band for, I think, 10 years. Ever since they kicked Nick Menza out. In an interesting turn of events, however, on the same day that both Drover and Broderick left the band, the Megadeth Twitter feed began following Nick Menza and Marty Friedman on Twitter. Why is this significant, you ask? Well, Nick Menza was the drummer for Megadeth before Drover, and Marty Friedman was the best guitar player that has ever been in Megadeth. Ever. Better than Dave Mustaine. Marty Friedman is a god. He's the one who wrote the solo for Tornado of Souls, which is one of the greatest Megadeth solos ever written. Does this mean those two will be coming back to the band? I don't really know. I haven't talked to Dave in a while. Him and I aren't on speaking terms since he came out with Super Collider. But yeah, it could be cool. I mean, I know that, you know, Marty Friedman's working on his projects, and he's over in Japan. He's very popular in Japan, so he's doing his thing over there. And but we'll see. You know, it's definitely interesting, mostly because, you know, as of a month ago, Dave Mustaine was saying, oh, I've got so many good riffs, it's going to be so heavy, this, that, the other thing, and now all of a sudden...
Now he's just a giant liar.
Yeah, now all of a sudden two people left the band. So it's still him and Ellefson, the bass player, rocking it out. So we'll see. If you're fans of metal, stay tuned to the Megadeth Twitter feed in the next coming months. I'm sure they're going to be announcing something relating to someone. Because they're supposed to record an album and go on tour. And in order to do that, you need a drummer and a second guitar player.
You need people.
You need people.
You need a band. Unless,
yeah, even Broken Bells hires people to go on tour. And there's like two dudes in their mom's basement just doing stuff.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So
phenomenal.
Yeah. Moving on to our next topic.
Yes, the final topic of tonight. And it's always reserved for trailer talk. And this week, we're going to be talking about a trailer.
Now, this is a certain trailer.
This is no ordinary trailer. This is a trailer that has been built up so much.
It's in half a trailer.
Did you say half a trailer?
It's half a trailer.
It's a teaser trailer. Teaser. It's an 88-second trailer, to be precise. And why are we so precise about a trailer? I mean, movie trailers come out all the time. You know, there's movies with a lot of hype, and there's movies that are like, you know, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. So what makes this movie so special? Well,
Star Wars. It's fucking Star Wars. Two words.
It's thank you, Lucas. You couldn't really hold it in. Lucas, since I've known of him, I've known one thing, that he is the biggest Star Wars fan of all time. That's a pretty amazing title to have.
Certified Fair Trade Organic World's Biggest Star Wars Fan.
Yes. So they have just released on Friday, Black Friday, they announced... they released the first teaser trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens, directed by none other than Lucas's favorite human on Earth, J.J. Abrams.
J.J.!
So, Lucas does not like three people. And it is, he has a love-hate relationship with George Lucas, an even worse relationship with Stephen Moffat, and then, of course, J.J. Abrams.
Who I despise.
These are three people who have...
That you want dead.
His three favorite properties, probably. Star Wars, Doctor Who, and Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, J.J. Abrams is not only responsible for Star Trek, but he's also responsible for Star Wars. And there was also a time when he was rumored to do an American Doctor Who movie. But that's besides the point, because that can be a whole discussion for another
time. He's ruining my life.
He is. Or he could be saving it. We don't know. But it looks very promising. So, we're going to go to Lucas first, because he's going to give us a long and tiring and perhaps overanalyzed reaction to the Star Wars Force Awakens teaser trailer. Lucas, take it away.
It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If I have two complaints, and they're very small complaints. The first complaint I have is the way that stormtrooper popped up.
I thought that was awesome.
I thought that was like too sudden. It almost made it into like a parody, I thought. Because you know what the first thing I thought of was? I thought it was a comedy. Like, I thought it was like a fan-made comedy trailer when that happened. Apparently people are angry about the black stormtrooper. I haven't heard that. All I keep hearing is news outlets saying that there's racism happening in the Star Wars trailer. But I haven't heard a single person complain about a black stormtrooper. What I have heard them say is it doesn't make sense. And then you explain it to them and they go, oh, okay. Like, they don't care that he's black. They just... it doesn't make sense to them. The thing about Star Wars fans is, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter what it is. It has to make sense. You know? If you can make it make sense that all the white people in Star Wars are dead and it's now an all-black movie, if you can make that make sense, they'll be fine with it.
I'm sure they would not be fine with it, but keep going.
No, because it doesn't make sense. The other problem I have was, and it's like a small problem, and it might not even be a problem. I thought the way they had the Millennium Falcon flying around was a little disorienting. But that's J.J. Abrams' style. It seems. The way he films spacecraft. That, like, swirling, disorienting thing going on. Other than that, I loved everything. Everything was great. I have not been that happy watching Star Wars in quite some time. The narration was great. The effects looked great. The mix of on location shooting, thank God they're filming on location. Oh my God. They went to actual deserts, actual forests. Mixed with the CGI looked great. The Sith Lord looked great. The lightsaber was awesome. The X-Wing footage. Oh my God, I popped such a nerd boner when I saw the X-Wings flying across the water. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that was cool. I'm really looking forward to this. What I'm going to do, and I'm going to challenge the two of you to do the same thing. Do you remember when District 9 was coming out? We saw a teaser and we had no idea what it was, and so we didn't watch any trailers until the movie came out?
That was just me and you.
Was that me and you?
Yeah.
I watched trailers.
You watched trailers. And how awesome was it? We were totally blown away by District 9.
Oh my God. It's still one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. So I think, and I challenge you both to do this.
Never going
to
happen.
Is not to watch anything else. Don't it's click on anything. Never don't read happen. Anything. Don't look at anything. I'm going to do it.
All right. I'm going to try. I really am. And as probably the, I was going to say the second biggest Star Wars fan, completely inaccurate. I love Star Wars, but I'm not nowhere near the level of fandom that you are. I've always been a fan of the shows. I've always been a fan of the films. I
remember, yeah, that right there, just like
exactly. I remember one of my oldest memories of going to the movies was my dad taking me to. They did like a rescreening. What's the word I'm looking for?
They did a re-release in '97.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was in '97.
It wasn't '97.
All right. In the theaters, right?
So take the answer.
Yeah, so I remember my dad taking me to a re-release of the films in 97, and I saw, I think, Return of the Jedi, I want to say. Or it could have been New Hope. I really, like I said, it's really, I just remember going to the theater, and don't remember what I was seeing. But I remember when I came home, I was like, I really want to watch all of these movies. And we went to like the library and I got all the VHS tapes and I watched them. So ever since then, I've been a fan of Star Wars. I was what, in fourth grade? Wow. Well, Phantom Menace, 99. So I want to say
you were seven.
Seven. So I was in elementary school. I remember Phantom Menace. I remember going to see Phantom Menace opening weekend. You know, I remember being excited for Attack of the Clones. You know, I remember just being a fan for my whole childhood. Not like Lucas was, because he knows every word of all of the movies.
Yes.
He saw them a billion times, and he knows the weirdest facts about them that I don't want to get into. But let's talk about the trailer. The trailer, I was a fan of Abrams' Star Trek films because I'm not a fan of Star Trek. I'm not a fan like Lucas is, who can compare it to the old Star Trek movies and say, oh, well, this is not this, and this is blah, blah, blah. I'm just a fan because I enjoy his directorial style. I like his aesthetic. I really enjoy his films from start to finish. That's why I'm a big fan of Super 8. Another one of his films is really cool. And Mission Impossible 3, another good movie by him. Regardless, this trailer, the small footage that we've seen, it just looks so cool. It just looks like a really, really good. It almost brought me back to that childhood when I first saw Return of the Jedi in theaters, and I was like, this is so cool. This is awesome. You know, and you know, just those brief glimpses, you know, the stormtrooper all nervous and sweaty, like he just escaped from somewhere. The stormtrooper's like in that like dark, that, you know, about to
get... the landing craft.
Yes, I can't talk. I'm sorry. I'm really excited. Yeah, the Sith Lord in the forest, and Ryan knows that is like my favorite shot. Anytime anyone has a sword of any type, that is my favorite kind of shot. From the back with the sword kind of like out like that. That's why the best shot of The Walking Dead is when the prison gets attacked by all the walkers and Michonne goes to save Rick and she's running and then she takes the sword and she's like running with the sword and it's just shot from that way. That is my favorite shot of the entire show so far and has not been topped yet. I love that kind of style. So when he did that, I was like, damn it. You got me. JJ,
The interesting thing is that I went into the trailer like, okay, like, all right, you know, sit back and, like, make sure it's going to be okay and take a look at it and, like, see what's going on. And I watched the trailer and I just had a big smile on my face.
Yeah.
Like, all of that, like, trying to criticize it didn't really matter. And you know what I really enjoyed? I really, and this, I think, bodes well for the film, the attention to detail. Because if you notice in the shot of the Millennium Falcon does not have a round sensor dish. It has a rectangular sensor dish. Do you know why it has a rectangular sensor dish, Al?
No.
Because in Return of the Jedi, Lando Calrissian accidentally knocked the round sensor dish off while flying the Falcon through the construction tunnels to the core of the second Death Star. And so they had to replace it. And it makes sense that they would replace it with something different. That is how I know that at the very least, this movie is going to be a mediocre Star Wars film. At the very, very least. That level of attention to detail means that it won't suck.
Yeah.
And after episodes 1 and 2, because I like 3. I still like 3. For all of its faults, I still like it overall as a film.
Me too. I like the darkness of it. I like that. I like that. There was a lot of action. It was really just dark. Empire's dark. Revenge of the Sith is a different level of dark. It's
right.
It really did. We had the discussion when we were drunk stuff your face world when I was drunk.
I think those girls behind us were mocking us.
Oh, absolutely. They fucking bitches. But what I was trying to say was that whole discussion that we had was without getting into it, was I felt that the three films, you have a really nice kid who is told that he is destined for something better. And at the end, he's a douchebag. And you don't really see from 1 to 2 why he becomes an asshole. And I don't want to get into the discussion, because we can do that for a whole other podcast. But what I'm saying is, I do like in the third film how much of an asshole he's become, and you know how dark, and you can see why he's angry, and you can see why he goes to the dark side, why how easily he was manipulated. It's just that the first two films didn't show me the bridge of his personality becoming that way. And I don't want to get into it again, because I know you're about to say something. You can, but I'm just saying.
Let's get Ryan in on the trailer talk.
Yes, that's what I want to get into, because this podcast is going long as shit. So, Ryan,
yes.
What did you think as someone who has never really been a big fan?
Well, yes, as you said, I've never been a humongous fan of the Star Wars. I when I was younger, I watched the older ones. And, you know, I consider myself, not a fan, but, like, you know, I like the movies, more or less. I still consider Return of the Jedi the best movie. I didn't like the first three. Lucas, get your goddamn eye off of me, all right?
Listen, that's a great thing about this country. You're welcome to have any opinion you want, no matter how wrong it is.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out, I didn't like them at all. Third one, I can take it or leave it. Now, but, you know, like, when the first one came out in 1977, it was monumental, it was groundbreaking, it was tremendous, you know, no one saw it coming, and then, obviously, you know, when Empire Strikes Back, that came out, obviously that was more of an event, everybody saw that one coming. I kind of relate that to this, like, everybody is waiting for this movie to come out. It's like one of the most anticipated events in cinematic history, and just us being on that road now waiting for it is awesome. It's nice to be part of that, whether you're a fan or not. You know, the movie's coming, you know, it's gonna be huge, it's gonna be nuts. So now, as the first trailer came out, I was not expecting anything. I'm not expecting anything good to come from this. I am not expecting anything from this movie. Before the trailer came out, I was like, I might see the movie, I might not. So the trailer came out. I liked it.
Midnight IMAX?
Yes, we'll do that.
Midnight IMAX.
We'll do that. I'm into it. I'm into the movie. I like the approach. I like how they did it. It's kind of a clean slate, kind of, in a way. one could say. I just watched all the Funny or Die Batmans.
The ultimate tool for a master thief.
Let me finish. It's allowing people to get back into it. You learn new characters. Lucas, if you're spit soda beer all over me, do it over there. You're learning going to be learning new characters besides the originals. It's a whole new approach, and it's exciting. I like the trailer. It was a very tease-worthy trailer. I got a little jiggle in my nuts when I saw the Millennium Falcon gliding around, and that X-Wing shot on the water was definitely my favorite shot of the trailer. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? And it actually made me break out my GameCube for this. Star Wars Rogue Leader, Rogue Squadron 2.
You really are 3. A hoarder. You know that, right?
Yeah, shut up. So that in that game has some of the best Star Wars flight mechanics of any game ever made. And in one of the missions, you were flying an X-Wing in atmosphere, and your whole point is to skim as fast as you can along the ground.
That's cool.
So it was, like, super awesome for me, but keep going.
Go ahead.
I was just going to end it with the one thing I really, really, really loved about the trailer was Abrams could have hit the nostalgia. Obviously, he did it with the Falcon and the X-Wing. But if you notice, none of the original cast is in it.
Yeah.
In that teaser. And he really could have hit you hard with, remember these guys? They're back. No. Yeah. He didn't. He actually chose to do the complete opposite and showed all of the new faces, some of which, and when I say some, I mean all of which, none of them are household names.
Nope.
I don't even know that the guy's John
Boyoga.
Boyoga.
Well, the Stormtrooper was in Attack of the Block.
Attack the Block.
Giant Bio.
Good try, because I know you didn't even watch it.
No, you lent it to me.
Yeah, he's in Attack the Block, and the guy who is fighting the flying the X-Wing is Oscar Isaac, who probably should have won an Academy Award for Inside Llewellyn Davis. And he was also in Drive, too. He was, what's his name? Standard.
Yes. Standard, he's, also, yeah. he's now who is he? Oh, he's Apocalypse.
Yes, now he just got cast as Apocalypse for X-Men Age of Apocalypse. And then I think the girl was only like the really, really fresh new face. But then also, you know, the voice of the entire trailer, there was a voiceover at the end, towards the end, and that was Andy Serkis, who was, who is the most famous.
Isn't he Gollum?
He's Gollum.
He's everyone.
He's Caesar. He's King Kong. He's any time that they have motion capture, he's the motion
he's
capture
also,
guy.
He's also Andy Serkis.
He is also Andy Serkis. If you knew that, yeah. Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, it's they could have focused it on, hey, you remember Luke Skywalker? You remember Han Solo and Princess Leia? And Chewie?
Yeah. Yeah, what's he gonna look like when he's like, hey, remember Mark Hamill, the guy who hasn't been in anything since Star Wars? Yeah, he's back.
You know what I don't want to see? Force Ghosts.
Guess what?
I just realized that. I don't want to see Force Ghosts.
Guess what? You're gonna see Force Ghosts. Speaking of Force Ghosts, how great was
And if Neo? I have to see Force Ghosts, if Hayden Christensen, JJ, you come close. If I see Hayden Christensen in this godforsaken film, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
How great was the George Lucas cut of the trailer?
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen it, they made a George Lucas cut where they put all like the special edition stuff in. And they also made a J.J. Abrams cut where they turned up the lens flare like 1,000%.
That's funny.
But, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think we're all pretty much excited, right? We can sum that up. It's a varying... We're all pretty
I'm
excited.
I'm all in, yeah. I'm excited.
A few reservations, but mostly we're excited.
It sucks because it's a goddamn year away.
Yes.
Lucas...
But then again...
I'm going to try to do the no trailer thing, but it's probably not going to last.
But then again, I remember in 2006 being excited for Watchmen that was coming out 3 years later. So that's one right. year...
And we had to wait 3 years between the prequels. Attack of the Clones came out in 2005, and then they announced that Revenge of the Sith was in 2009. And I said, how am I going to... I'm going to have to go my whole high school career without watching Star Wars.
Revenge of the Sith was 2009?
Yeah.
No.
Sorry. It was 99, 2003, and 2006.
Six, yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know why I said 2009. Yeah. Oh, because I got 99 mixed up with 2009.
Yes.
But yeah, sixes and nines.
It was 3 years in between. I remember that. Like, that sucked. I remember seeing Phantom Menace and then having to wait 3 years for Attack of the Clones. And then when I saw Attack of the Clones, I was like, all right, that was that. Now I have to wait 3 years for this ending. That sucked. But yeah, so 1 year, not so bad. And because of franchises and shared universes, they've also promised that we're going to probably get a Star Wars film a year, right? Something like that?
Or a year or two, yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to have the almost like one-shot movies. And they already had directors lined up and everything. We'll have to talk.
I would pay so much money to see a Boba Fett movie, you have no idea.
Apparently, not only is there going to be a Boba Fett movie, but they're talking about like a Bounty Hunters movie that's almost going to be like... Not Seven Samurai, but they were talking about having it in a way that it was going to be like a couple of bounty hunters, and they like focused on that.
Every single noun and verb in that sentence totally arouses me.
I know. That's so sad. But we're going to end this podcast while you're aroused.
Lucas is aroused. Whilst
Lucas is aroused. And that's going to wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews. Make sure, if you haven't already done so, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at News Over Brews. Make sure you also check out our YouTube page, because we're always... Actually, not our YouTube page. Check out the popbreak.com YouTube page. It's spelled out popbreakdotcom. Had to think about it for a second. It's kind of...
That was painful to watch.
That was,
oh my God.
That was pretty bad to watch. Kind of just hearing it myself was pretty bad. Yeah, but make sure you check out the poprick.com YouTube page where you can see all of the News Over Brews videos, including Loot Crate Unboxed and Behind the Brews. And speaking of Behind the Brews, Lucas, we have another episode coming up, right?
Yes, we do. We are in the final process of editing Artisans Brewing from Toms River, New Jersey. So they will be up and running by the end of the week.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully. So if you can check out that episode at the end of the week, possibly. But for now, you can watch the first episode, which features Pinelands Brewing from Little Lake Harbor, New Jersey. And you can catch up on some episodes of Loot Crate Unboxed. We still have to get that situation figured out. But for the time being, there is, I think, 3 episodes up, I want to say.
3, yeah.
3. We skipped this month because I think they keep forgetting about us. So we're going to try to get that rectified and hopefully have it ready for next month's crate. And we're working on some other things, so make sure you check back soon. And thank you for listening. I'm Al Manarino. I'm gonna have another Golden Monkey.
I'm Lucas Jones, and after watching that Star Wars trailer a few times, it seems that Jabba has come out of his hut.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I just woke up.
Clean slate.
Using my skills that I learned in the mountains.
What a hero.
Thanks for listening.